guy.
Hello, and welcome into Bourbon and Bad Opinions, the podcast where what we're drinking is better than what we're thinking. I'm Carrie, and I am here today with Sean, John, and Rob. This is episode one, so we're really excited to be doing this. And I'm going to be interested to tell you all where this kind of idea originated. It's an interesting story for sure. But, you know, so kind of just the basis of this podcast, since this is the first episode and I feel like we kind of have to explain what we're doing here, is that we're going to drink bourbon.
Yes, yes.
We're going to drink good bourbon, and we're going to talk about a variety of different topics and kind of give our opinions on those topics, unpopular as they might be, possibly. So, like I said, what we're drinking is definitely better than what we're thinking.
It's very true.
It's very true, yes. Yeah,
I think so. So let's just kind of get right into it. What are we drinking today?
Okay, well, since I brought it here, I will talk about it. We are drinking Henry McKenna, bottled in bond. It's a product of Heaven Hill, I believe. It's pretty good. It's been aged 10 years, and so I had to do a little research on this when I got it. But they were kind enough to give me a little cheat sheet, so I have to write
yes,
all my notes.
Yes, that's very nice.
It's probably the best thing I've seen extra on a bottle of bourbon.
It's helpful. Most of those little the little pamphlets that they attach to the neck of the bottle of bourbon are there for looks or kind of sometimes it's, if it's a fundraiser or it's bottle, the profits go to a certain cause or whatever. They'll kind of give you that information. But this actually is very good. It goes into a lot of explanation about some of the things that people maybe don't know about.
Okay, cool. So it says here in the little pamphlet, to be bottled in bond, it's a product of one distillation season. And I do learn that there's two. There's one that runs from January to like June. And then the second one is the second half of the year from July to December. I think that's what I read. It has to be from one distillery, so it's not a mixing of this distillery, and that also would probably get rid of a lot of the craft things that are made in Indiana right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then call it something else. Stored in a federally bonded warehouse under U.S. government supervision for at least 4 years. Bottled at 100 proof. And if it follows those three things, it becomes bottled in bond.
Okay, yeah, because that's you see that a lot on bourbon, bottled in bond, but I don't think people know what it means.
Yeah.
Exactly.
The other thing about that, too, is that it typically delineates, it has to be like a single barrel product.
Right.
And that, so then some of the things that people see from that is you may get variations from bottle to bottle, from barrel to barrel and that kind of thing, but it's provides a unique kind of look. It's not blended like some of the others that are out there.
Right.
Age and time and...
Well, and see, and that's the thing. If you listen to the show, you're going to get information about bourbon and
yes.
and what you should be drinking, because that's the other thing is we have bad opinions, but not bad bourbon, definitely. And the people, not myself, maybe not included, sitting at this table, know about bourbon. In fact,
we know some things. Maybe not much.
Some.
Depends on who you ask.
Enough.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, and that's interesting that it's by Heaven Hill, too, because I think people associate Heaven Hill a lot of times with kind of like a bottom shelf type of bourbon that you would get for a tailgate or, you know, drinking Coke or whatever.
But this, Sean was kind enough to bring this bottle today, and this was in the a more affordable price range. It was 30, did you say?
Yes, it's like 31, 32 normal, and then it was on sale at Kate Rogers for 27, 28.
Yeah.
So it's not, yeah, it's not, you don't have to spend $100 on a bottle to get something like that, and
it's a good price point.
It is
more affordable.
Good price point.
I happened to point upon it, reading Garden and Gun.
Ah, yeah. That's a great magazine.
It is. And they had a bourbons, bartenders picked their favorite bourbons under $30.
Oh, okay. And see, and that's also one that you could actually find on the shelf. until all the hipsters get a hold of it and then decide that it's really good and they like it, and then you won't be able to find it anymore. So get it while the getting's good, I guess. That's the moral of the story, to tell you the truth. Okay, so kind of like to continue a little bit with the bourbon aspect of this, and I guess to get a bad opinion, I guess this would be our first kind of topical issue. And this is this was a big one in the bourbon world, definitely. I mean, you've got I think Rob and I are on the same side of this. Obviously, we're drinking kind of a similar style here. And then Sean and John are on the same side. So, and that's ice or no ice. And I'm ice. Rob, you're ice.
I'm ice.
I'm no ice.
I think it should be neat or not neat. Because it's neat.
Okay,
is
neat or not neat. Right. Bourbon, what a bourbon snob.
Yes, thank you very much. But the only reason I say that is because the same folks, I mean, ice is one thing, but there are folks who do the splash of water. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There are people in the world who will take one of the ones that you're talking about, the higher, more sought after bourbons, things like Pappy, and they are proud to mix it with Coke or 7-Up or,
yeah, that's just,
I mean, name it.
No.
It's... That's one of those things that I think it's sort of a neat or no neat conversation. And I don't mind. It doesn't offend me because I do think something can be, there are differences with a little bit of water. I've had some things that were really hot. And by that, it's just typically they're the higher proof and it's just really alcohol-y,
right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very boozy. And with a little water, it opens up and or thyme or air, that kind of thing. A lot like wine, I guess it is. But it can make a big difference.
Well, and see, Rob, why do you like the ice? Because I have my reasons as why I like
it's
the ice.
It's sort of the same with the water. I mean, it just kind of, depending on the bourbon, there are some smoother bourbons that I can drink neat. But depending on the proof or the flavor of it, I want something that's going to open it up or just even cut back the flavor a little bit. And I also, you know, for me, I don't like a hot beverage unless it's coffee or tea.
Gotcha.
I just prefer something
a little
more chilled.
Yeah. And see, that's where I am on it. I like the and I hate to use the word watered down, but I like the little bit of water and kind of it can cut that harshness of it. But I do like the chilled too.
Yeah.
I do like the chilled a little bit.
But oddly enough, I do not like the like at some of the local restaurants, they give you that ball that's like the
perfect ice cube.
And I just find those to just. They're unwielding when you're trying to drink
and
it.
See,
exactly.
You can't. That is true.
It doesn't cool the bourbon any to me. It doesn't chill it at all.
Yes, I am absolutely on board with that.
Yeah.
Because we actually have a couple of those in the freezer. And I've used them before. And yeah, they're just unwieldy for the bourbon.
Yes.
And those bourbon stones, have you tried those?
I have. Again, it's the same thing. I'm afraid they're just going to roll out and
well
that happened to a friend
that
of ours
did happen
he
to
nearly
a friend of ours.
Had like chipped a tooth because it's
yeah
there was enough bourbon the yep. liquid caught the stone, you know, held at the bottom of the glass, and at the end of that he tipped it up and the thing shot back toward his tooth, and he said he thought he chipped a tooth.
Yeah
They don't work long enough either, because I've tried those.
Oh, I can see
and
that.
It's cool for about maybe 3-4 minutes,
really?
Five tops, because you know you want to sip bourbon.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
If you're going to slug it, you might as well go buy something cheap, you know, Kentucky Gentleman or something,
right?
And
just
drink
plastic
it.
Plastic
bottle.
Handle.
Plastic bottle, yeah, exactly.
Or Fireball.
Fireball, no.
Fireball.
There's nothing wrong with Fireball.
No, there is nothing wrong with
Fireball. No, there isn't, and that's the problem.
I disagree with all three of
you. Oh, really? Really? Yeah. Oh, man, that'll get you at the tailgate.
I understand.
Yeah. back to the ice, I think George T. Stagg, that's the one. It's real high proof.
Yes.
Well, I call it bourbon nirvana, because it opens up, and the way I've always had it is I will get my glass with it neat, and a good bartender, a really good bartender, will give you a glass of water and a glass of ice next
yes.
to it.
Yes.
They never mix all
yeah.
those.
And John, that's sometimes how you ask for it.
That's what I generally do. One, I think you don't get gypped. If you ask for it without ice,
if I ask the ice
on the side,
yeah,
because then I can see what you gave me. And in some cases, I think you're kind of, I've been places where I think I got gypped. But the other thing I like to do is I typically will start with it neat. Then sometimes I'll add a little water, or then maybe do a little ice to kind of, it gives you the three different options. So I can try it at each stage, kind of determine where for that particular product, especially if I'm trying something new, determine from that kind of product where I'm. What I like about that particular bottle.
I try it like the three. I'll leave my bourbon alone, take a sip of the bourbon, suck on the ice, or sip of the water and see, get the whole experience in my mouth. And it's pretty tasty that way. And that's the reason I call George T. Stagg Bourbon Nirvana. It's heaven. It's like just vapor, just kind of like poof.
Is that one you can find?
Well, my friend... who I think you may have seen on the internet, got two bottles of it lately.
Oh, that guy.
That guy.
I think I know who that guy is.
But I haven't seen one in the wild for about 5 years. So
Oh, okay. Yeah. And that's well, and again,
are you talking Stag, the
antique experiment? I've seen Stag Junior. It's, you know, it comes out, but it doesn't stay around much anymore either.
See, that's the thing is now it's, we've talked before about these things and yet another topic. Mm-hmm. Once you get into, for me at least, once I get into a certain distillery, I tend to like a lot of the things that are from that place. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's happening specifically with Stag. It's a, owned by Sazerac, but it's a Buffalo Trace product from Frankfort, Kentucky. And that's what's kind of happened with them is this, the Buffalo Trace antique collection. That's the Eagle Rare, the William LaRue Weller, the Sazerac and the Stag. Those are the more prized versions mm-hmm. than the Van Winkles in that same group. But it's now that the demand has followed down to the other products.
Yes.
Things like the Stag Juniors and it, like you can't get Weller anymore, the antique or those sorts of things. I mean, it's crazy.
Probably 5 years ago, maybe about five, I picked up some bottles of Weller and it was reasonably inexpensive.
Yes.
And it was
yes.
a good
yep.
bourbon.
Yep.
And now it's like you cannot find it or people have gone crazy and I'm just like, what happened there?
Yeah.
Or well, you can't find Buffalo Trace now. There are certain times of the year you have trouble. That's
well,
my standard
and I
go-to.
Think what people were having trouble finding, not Knob Creek, maybe it was Buffalo Trace that I'm thinking of. I thought there was another one that people were having trouble finding. But it's funny about the Weller that you said that is because you used to be able to find Pappy on the shelves. You just go to Liquor Barn and you pick up Pappy for like...
I think I gave you one for a graduation present.
Yeah, or something like that.
Some years ago. And
or
like,
we got them for wedding gifts and stuff like that. You may hear a dog panting in the background of this, but that's okay. She
Bacon's
likes
appearance.
That's right. She likes bourbon. I went to pick up a bottle of Pappy and I bought a bottle of Weller and we were like, what is this crap? I mean, we weren't mm-hmm. fans of it because the labels look similar and now you can't find it.
I just think it's a testament to where bourbon is going as far as an industry and the way that they've been marketing it. So it's exciting for you know the bluegrass region, but at the same time, I'm like I just never saw anything special in that particular bourbon. And I'm glad other people are enjoying it though.
Sure. All right, but I had to tell the story just quickly again because this is the inaugural episode of how this podcast got started, and it wasn't on the back of bourbon; it was actually on the back of beer, to tell you the truth. We were at Hooters on a Sunday afternoon eating peel and eat shrimp and drinking beer.
Whoa.
Yes.
Oh,
sounds horrible.
hold on a second. You were eating peel and eat shrimp on a Sunday. Have you not read the Anthony Bourdain book? You don't eat seafood in a restaurant on a Sunday.
Push the fish. It's about to turn.
Yes.
I know. But the problem is the only two places in Lexington to get peel and eat shrimp are Hooters and the Cellar.
Oh, okay.
And the Cellar is a fine establishment.
Yes.
Shout out to them. They are a fine establishment here in town. They are a local establishment. But somebody who is a friend of this podcast often hangs out at Hooters. So he enjoys going to the Hooters patio. So we are sitting there drinking beer and eating peel and eat shrimp. And I'm like, you know what? We need to start a podcast with unpopular opinions and drinking bourbon. And so there you go. That's how it was
and
born.
Here we are.
Here we
and
are.
Here we
well,
are.
Thank you, Hooters, for the one thing that's good.
But I want to tell you right now, I haven't been in a Hooters. Like, that's probably the first time I've been in a Hooters in a long time. And I'm going to tell you, the Hooters in Lexington it needs an update.
Here's an understatement.
Do you think? I mean, seriously. I mean,
it does. It's that like the TVs on the port, like on the patio area, I'm pretty sure were some of the first flat screens ever produced.
they're originals. Although I will say I don't necessarily go for the TVs. It's not even the wait staff. The people that are drawn to a Sunday afternoon.
Oh my God.
Are those who are there to drown the last vestiges of their weekend. They're lamenting their jobs
and in many
cases, life choices.
Life choices.
And
absolutely.
It is drama. It is public theater that you cannot beat.
You really can't. You really can't. Now, Rob, you've got an opinion on Hooters here. I know you do.
Come on.
You might as well just say it.
Hooters to me is bad service. It's bad food. It's warm beer. And if you're into that sort of thing, then, you know, please help yourself.
Go to it.
I mean, I know the Hooters that you're referring to. And I think I was there last probably in maybe, I don't even know if I've been there in the 2000s.
Wow.
It's just... I can see what you know. You're saying with the people watching and things like that. It's just that's not where I would go for to watch a game or to have a meal that I would enjoy.
And honestly, it wouldn't be my first choice either. But to peel and eat shrimp.
But it's peel and eat shrimp on a Sunday.
That's my whole thing.
I like to tell myself they sell enough that it's fresh.
Yeah, you
that's
keep
what
believing
I tell myself,
that, John.
You well, you know that. What? I haven't gotten sick yet, so
knock on wood.
So there you go.
I'm not going with you.
But I thought actually another interesting podcast would be just to take my recorder out there with the microphone on top and just set it on the table and hit record and see what I could pick up.
You mean in conversation?
Yes, the people of Hooters.
I like that.
It's like the people of Walmart, except Hooters. And I'm telling you, there are some.
I'd say there's some crossover there, probably.
I think so. I mean, yeah, there's crossover.
Yeah, I'm not a foodie by any means. I like B-dubs, and I like a lot of Greasy Spoons. So I'm not coming at that from somewhere that's
no. I mean, you're not coming at it from like a food snob perspective or whatever you want to call it. No, I've
just never found their entire business model to be very appealing.
I don't necessarily disagree. I'm not offended by it in any way. You know, there's some women
I'm offended
that would,
by the hose.
Are you like, the pantyhose is still a thing? Yeah,
pantyhose.
Yeah.
That's like that's the thing that to me is like this is not good.
It scares me.
It scares you.
You look down and you're like, what is on their legs?
Yeah.
Oh, well, it's so 80s. I mean,
I'm not sure
like,
it's not 70s.
I think it's bad.
Yeah.
And it's in some cases holding things in and moving things around and that kind of thing. And that's, I don't want to think about it. I'm not interested in the food because everything's deep fried and I'm not a fan of that. That's the only reason I go. They have decent wings.
Their wings are
the
decent.
The grilled wings are not terrible. Not a fan.
No, I think their wings are horrible.
We hadn't been there in a long time, and they've kind of upped their wing game to where they have grilled and smoked wings now, and not just because I think those fried wings are atrocious. Nice. Yeah.
Has it been 20 years since I've been there? I'm coming at this from a complete non-understanding of what the restaurant is, except for the TVs. They were there when I was there.
They probably were, seriously. Yeah. But anyway, that's where this whole thing started. So take that for whatever it's worth, I guess.
One of the many things born out of Hooters.
Oh, Hooters. Yeah. If they just update the place, I think
maybe it's just Lexington's Hooters because there are other Hooters. I've been to a couple in Florida that looked like they've been updated. I went there because... kind of got free meal, got the hookup, so I went there.
All right.
So that's the reason.
There you go. Yeah. Well, anyway, there you are. But you know what you can do at Hooters, obviously, is watch football.
Yes.
And that's one of those topics that has been a definite point of contention, especially this season, I guess, with viewership and that kind of thing. And so kind of the first, I guess, beyond the Hooters topic and bourbon, the third topic that that we're going to discuss, bad opinions or not, is the NFL, and not the protest side of it either. And frankly, my opinion on it is the fact that protests, whatever, they're stupid. I kind of think they're stupid. I don't see what they're accomplishing with them at this point. And I have a whole other opinion on that. But I'm sorry, NFL, your viewership has dropped off because the product on the field is just not good. I mean, it honestly isn't. So I get your all's opinion on that.
This is kind of my thing. Every time I watch a great defensive play, I'm like the players. I'm looking around for the flag at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
I've been watching football, you know, for quite some time, played football, enjoy watching it. And that's the biggest thing. I mean, every time you get a great defensive stop, is it going to be pass interference or is it going to be holding?
Holding.
You know, what's...
Or targeting.
Yeah, and it's, you know, and I get the targeting piece more than the other two, But, you know, I feel like it's really slanted towards the offense, and, you know, it's just not as fun to watch for me.
Well, and it's slanted towards the offense, but the thing of it is, the offenses are boring. The offenses are vanilla, and they run all the – every offense in the league runs all the exact same plays.
Oh, yeah, they're all hybrids of – or descendants of the West Coast when Bill walked. Yes. I mean, it's
nothing.
Past,
there's
crazy.
No well, but there's no innovation going on, in my opinion.
I think it's interesting what you said about the flag issue particularly. I've read a number of things where people say – people who have watched football for years and their years, you don't feel like you know the rules anymore.
Right.
I can watch a clip, and I can – I see nothing wrong with the defense, the way it was played, that sort of thing, yet now it's a foul. So then you learn that, and then you'll watch the next play or a different game, and that same play is not called.
Some consistency.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we now have the ability to – everything's reviewed. Everybody wanted that for years, so now we review everything. That takes forever. The targeting thing takes forever. And then we go – if you're even going to have a centralized location where – a la hockey and some of the other things,
yeah.
Everything goes to one place so we can maybe build some consistency, then that takes forever.
Does the NFL go, because I know like college football, for instance, in SEC, it all goes to corporate headquarters.
Birmingham. Right? Yeah, it goes to Birmingham.
So does the NFL
I don't believe so.
Okay.
I don't think so.
I don't think it does. I was trying to, and I've lost my train of thought.
It's okay. The bourbon.
It's the bourbon, that's right. Bourbon. No, I just think that the product on the field is poor. Go ahead. No, go.
Keeps escaping me. It's a good thought, though.
Write it down.
But, yeah, I just think people – and honestly, I find the college – oh, it's back.
I got it.
It's back.
I think some of it, too, goes with, you know, the professional level, they're not practicing as much.
That's a good point.
Really good point.
They're not going through the motions, as it were, as far as the tackling, things like that. They're doing a lot of walkthroughs. So I think that's taken away from the actual play. I mean, you know.
I never thought about that, but that is a really good point.
That is a real good point.
And I'm glad that you got that thought back.
Thank you. But, you know.
It was worth it. You're right.
Thanks. Again, for me, though, you know, I get it. If you've got 10 years in and you know, your brain's going to be mush afterwards, I get what the players are thinking, you know. But some of it just comes back to, you know, my ability to understand what this play is. What is pass interference? What is a catch these days?
No kidding. Well, in the Jets-Patriots game, where the touchdown wasn't a touchdown?
Right.
That was a touchdown. I mean, that was a touchdown.
As I know the rules, it was a touchdown.
Exactly.
Yeah. But then they said it wasn't a touchdown. So, even with some rules changes in college, I still think the college game is far superior.
And you know what? 5 years ago, I wouldn't have said that. I'm starting to come around to the college game. I'm watching more college than I am NFL. And you know, I've always watched the NFL for, you know, forever. I didn't even watch college when I was probably in my teens and 20s.
I
was all NFL, and now I'm found myself watching more.
So that's fascinating to me because you were their customer. You're the person who's now no longer vested in the NFL. It amazes me that people do that because I like the NFL, but I've always been more into college. And I think, I mean, I can watch teams I don't care about or I'm not necessarily affiliated with in college more easily than I can Jets and Dolphins. I don't care.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even individual players, they try to sell you on the player and that sort of
and
thing.
And a fantasy thing. And I still.
Well, I've never gotten into that. But that's the sort of thing as it makes you wonder. There are a variety of issues. Cost is one.
Right.
Connection to the game, feeling like you understand what's going on. But that seems to be what's happening is that person who is, as you were, an NFL fan, is no longer driven to go. It's no longer priority to go back to the NFL week after week after week and sit through them.
That's true. Like, for instance, on a Saturday during college football season, I will just watch a game.
Yes.
Even if I'm waiting for my game to start, I will just flip and catch the last 15 minutes or whatever of a game and thoroughly enjoy it. But the NFL doesn't do that. Of course, I'm a 49ers fan, and let's not even talk about that dumpster fire that's going out there in San Francisco right now. But here's another thought about the NFL. Do you think that we are finally seeing the fruits of free agency? Because we all kind of grew up in a time when people stayed at their teams their whole career.
Yeah.
And if you don't have anybody to follow at your team and they're bad, you're not going to watch it. And it makes the product go down to the Browns. Yes. Thank you, the Browns.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think that that's a good point, too, is definitely because you've got these guys who are just like, you know what, I'm going to jump ship and I don't care and follow, right. You know, follow the money train.
I'd be inclined to disagree. I mean, I went through Mark Malone, Bubby Brister, Worley.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, in the 80s and I followed the team that I follow. You know, and still enjoyed watching them. I think free agency, if anything, has been a boom for the players to make more money.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't see anything against it. I think if you know, when you can get that money, you should go out there and get it.
Oh, I'm all about the money. So yeah. About the Benjamins. I mean, yeah, like pay them to play, but it's just if you stay with a team for, you know, your whole life, you're raised with the team. And
yeah, but yeah. That's to me, it's cyclical unless you just have horrible management. I mean, maybe the Browns just need better management. Pittsburgh was down. They're back up.
See the 49ers.
Yeah.
The investing in the future. Yeah. I think that's true.
Yeah.
You take your lumps. But I think that's a good point that you make in terms of that when you show up and that's kind of the way that all sorts of happen. Is it if you're not tied to a team, for instance, we're in a place that the Bengals are close and a lot of people here are Bengals fans. But if you're interested in one team and you keep following that team, TV now, you aren't stuck with the local teams.
Right.
You aren't stuck with three or four games. You can see whatever you want.
Right, the Sunday ticket and all that stuff, yeah.
You can do that kind of thing.
You can go to Hooters and watch any game you want.
I don't begrudge the players to get the money, especially when more and more information's out there about some of the long-term effects on their health.
Right.
But it is a business. But the thing of it is, it is a business. It is a business.
Always
has been. And the aim of the business is to make money.
Yes.
Now, a lot of people would also say college football is a business.
Of course. Yes, it is a big business.
Big time business.
But very successful I find the college game much more innovative than the NFL game, and I find the college coaches willing to take more chances and more risks in terms of play call and things like that because their job, I guess I see them as being more fireable.
Yeah, their job is not to make money. It's to win games and keep alumni happy.
Which in turn makes money, but
But they're going to take more chances to do that, I think, than an NFL.
Yes.
Yeah. But for me, also getting back to the play of the NFL, when you have the spread offense, a read option, they're not creating dropback quarterbacks, and that's what the NFL is about.
Exactly.
So that's a very good point. That's a very good point.
And I would do the same thing. You know, if my job is on wins and loss record in the level I'm at, I don't care what I'm producing for you. It's about what I'm doing for me.
Right.
And I think some of that has also not carried over well. I mean, there's been some successful quarterbacks. The majority of quarterbacks that have been hyped in college do not come out and make quality NFL quarterbacks.
Let's look at Andrew Luck. He's sitting on the bench because he's injured.
Yeah. And that's a really good point, Rob. And I, you know, like Lamar Jackson, as much as I don't like Louisville and screw the birds with teeth, he's a good quarterback. I don't think he's going to translate to the NFL.
No, he's not.
You have a case study in Michael Vick.
You do.
He's going to be that player and try to find a way to harness his talents, but then like he can jump over somebody who plays for Syracuse. You can't do that against the Eagles, who are much faster, much stronger.
Linebackers and secondaries in the NFL will eat you alive.
And he's a small quarterback.
He is a smallish quarterback.
There's a lot of issues there.
I would say you could look at, you know, Manziel, Tebow, Vince
Robert
Young.
Griffin.
There's a list.
It doesn't carry. One that I thought was going to be better and I thought had, you know, a halfway decent career on some level is Vince Young. You know, I enjoy watching him play and I wish he would have done better.
Well, but then if you look way back, you got Warren Moon and Randall Cunningham.
What's the other one?
Doug Williams.
But they were all dropback Packers. Yes.
I mean, you could go Steve Young and Steve McNair as well as people that could run, but they were still dropback Packers.
Right, right.
That's true.
I just don't think that's what you're getting a lot of out of college unless, you know, it is maybe a lower level school where the coaches are a little more traditional. But I would agree, college is definitely the play calling and the offensive schemes are much more imaginative than the NFL.
Definitely. All right,
I think part of that too is that, not to continue this point, but it's if you look at college, everybody's trying to take the next step up. Everybody's trying to get to the bigger program and that kind of thing. And in college, in our situation, at least Kentucky, and the SEC,
because we are in Lexington, Kentucky. I will say that, yes.
Many of them, you're stuck. Your offensive coordinator may turn over, so you've got to find someone who, with whom you understand the philosophy. That person plays into what you want to do philosophically on that side of the ball.
Yes.
But then that person, that offensive coordinator, that quarterback's coach, they're trying to get themselves to be the next big thing. Because basically it's an audition for them to get a real job.
It is.
Or a head job or whatever.
Yeah. You're exactly right. So then
you get variations.
Yep.
And that's where the way that things are now, if you get 2 or 3 years, you're lucky in that role.
That's a good point.
Because everybody's going to fire you. For instance, Brian Kelly got rid of all the assistants up there, all of his coordinators, because it was all their fault. And so then you get into that situation and you find...
Debatable. Yeah. I got some bad opinions on that guy, let me tell you. That guy. Terrible.
But you can look at somewhere like Navy, who's like
their
coach, and his assistants are the same and been the same since he's been head coach, and it works. And,
but they stick to philosophy.
Exactly.
Yeah. This is what we're going to do. This is what we're all about. Mm-hmm. We have players that are predisposed to size limitations and that sort of thing. So we have to find a way for these kids, smart kids that may be undersized against some competition
to win games.
They have to win games. Right. Yeah. And they've done a very good job with it.
Yeah,
Georgia Tech's done well as well.
Yeah, exactly.
It's very similar.
All right. Any other last words on this topic before we move on to another one that I think is going to be fun? I don't think, like I said, I don't think it necessarily sucks. I just think it's not as watchable as it used to be 10 years ago.
So I'm going to have to agree with that.
5 or 10 years ago. Okay. All right. So we're recording this, and it's like 2 days out from Halloween. And I'm hoping to upload this, to definitely upload it before Halloween. So I wanted to talk a little bit about Halloween, because I think we have some opinions on some Halloween topics that could possibly be construed as bad. I don't know, maybe.
In this world, yes.
Yes, bad. I think so. So the first up, you know, is the whole adult Halloween costuming thing. I feel like that Halloween has become less about kids getting candy and more about adults dressing up and going to parties.
I don't know if that's true, but I have no problem with that if it's the case. I think people find a way to make it enjoyable for themselves.
Oh, no, I think it's true.
See, I'm going to have an unpopular opinion on it.
True.
Yeah.
I think it's true because you go on the internet, you walk through your local retail establishment, you see this little section for kids' costumes, but you see this huge, like two aisles worth of stuff for adults to run in. And I think adults have taken over for bad behavior, which I'm all for bad behavior because I have engaged in a lot in my lifetime. But it's just gone to the next level. Next level bad behavior with adults.
I was at an event this week, you know, and there were probably 500-600 kids there. Almost all of them were in costume. We were passing out candy. I mean, you know, they were having a good time.
Right.
For me, it's just degrees. It's still about the kids and getting costume and going around. I think, again, coming from a different time frame where I used to go knock on doors, I think we all did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was more neighborhood driven. Now it's more going, the kids are going out to the malls or to events to get their candy, you know, so we're not seeing the kids side of it.
Chester,
as we've gotten
Chester
older.
Molester.
And check those candy for razor blades, kids.
Razor blades. And so, you know, I think that's part of it. You know, I like adult Halloween. I don't think adults have enough fun in their lives. So I think if you want to get dressed up, be silly. You know, you can be provocative or you can dress in whatever character you want. But I mean, to me, it's become more of a New Year's kind of atmosphere. And for me personally, I enjoy going out and having fun with my friends. So
I don't disagree with that because I do like dressing up.
We know you like dressing up. We have picture evidence of you going out and dressing up. I do enjoy it,
but I think that there's also on some level, like, I don't know where I'm going with this. Somebody help me out here, because I really don't know where I'm going with
John,
this.
Help
I'm
out.
Against couples costume.
Okay. Just put that out there then. There's John's I'll bad opinion. There you go.
I am totally against couples costume.
It's true.
In my
he
opinion,
is.
It is the same thing as couples Facebook. That is also inappropriate.
Oh, no, that's wrong. That's a no. That's a definite no. Couples Instagram, Snapface, all that stuff. Yes. That's a wrong.
I know all I need to know about you when you show up as a couple's costume.
You know what? I think that's going to be the last word on this because I got nothing. I got nothing after that. Okay, so our opinions on the costume part. But what about the candy part? And I'm going to bring this up because I feel like that, you know, this candy that I'm about to speak of is possibly one of the most divisive, controversial candies of Halloween. And that would be candy corn. And there's some disagreement at this table about candy corn. I will just go ahead and start. I think, you know, I have an unpopular opinion at this particular table. I like candy corn. I don't have a problem with candy corn. Sean?
I don't like candy corn.
Not a fan, huh?
No, I'm not a fan. I used to eat as a kid, then something switched. I guess I got my hormones, and then something changed, and it's like, I don't like it. It's too sweet. It's too chewy. It gets stuck in your teeth. I don't care for it.
It's all sugar. It's glorious. It's all
John,
sugar.
I think we share the same opinion.
I like all
sugar. You're pro candy corn.
I'm pro candy corn. I mean, it's one of those things, you're correct. It will rot your teeth like faster than anything else. It's pretty much just solidified sugar. I mean, it is nothing but sugar. And there's no corn that has those colors. I mean, that's orange, yellow, and white. No one has corn with that color.
Well, sometimes now they put them in the apple flavor with brown, green, and whatever color.
Oh, I haven't seen that. Oh. I'm against that, too.
Me and Sean are across the table. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, candy corn's horrible. I mean, it is the worst candy on the market. And from the sugar aspect, just have a pixie stick. I mean,
An Airhead. Okay. It's an Airhead.
Okay. I'm gonna say it's not the worst candy on the market. The Necco wafer is the absolute worst candy you could ever get in your bag.
You know what? I can't argue with
that
on that.
Necco wafers are horrifying.
You know, I'd rather eat a Necco wafer.
Oh, wow. You know what, Rob? Well, that's a strong opinion on that.
You know, a handful of candy corn.
Oh, yeah. And even
sitting
like
out for a day in grandma's, like, candy dish.
No.
It gets a little
so
hard.
So it's nice and dry. Yeah. A little, yeah.
It's just as
a little crunchy.
The little candy pumpkins. It's the same thing. They're just
awful. Rob, we're on the same page. Those are foul.
Those should have stopped being sold millions of years ago. If I could go back in time.
And they're usually a million years old. You can't get one.
They were all made in the 70s, and we're still selling through our current production.
John is a fan of the candy pumpkin.
I like the candy pumpkins.
He is a fan.
Now, those will get you faster than the corn. For sheer, simply because of the sheer amount of sugar per pumpkin. And what's not to love about a vegetable made, I mean, it's vegetable shape. It's something that should be good for you, made entirely of sugar. Easily digestible sugar.
All right, so what's the worst Halloween candy ever?
Worst Halloween candy ever. I'm going with candy corn.
Worst Halloween candy ever.
I don't know.
Something that when you dumped your bag out, you sifted through it, you would throw away immediately. Or try to trade.
Can I go back to that?
Yes, you can.
Almond Joys, because I hate coconut.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm not into coconut. No, that was the worst thing. When I got those, I cried like a baby, and I sold them or traded them to the people because I'm like, please, take this off my hands.
All right. What would you trade or sell out of your bag or you know, give away or throw in the trash? Come on.
I don't know.
Can I come back? Think about it.
Candy corn.
Come back, Randy.
See, I don't know what it is, but everybody should know this. When you dump out the bag and there's like these little hard candies with like a little silvery cellophane wrapper and it's got like strawberries on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, the wrapper's a strawberry?
Yeah, they'll suck.
I'd rather eat
candy corn than that.
I
hate candy corn.
That's a strong statement. Because I only saw those at Christmas time.
That's
so I'm
tough.
Like, I'm impressed.
No, I did get some of those. I know what you're talking about. Yes.
Those are bulk bagged candies that people parse out.
You didn't like those because those were late. They were left over from last Christmas before.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
John?
Could be.
I don't know. I even like the orange and black
peanut butter candies.
But
they're good.
What is this that you speak
I think the
of?
Things
you
that
know,
bother
you, they're,
me are
they're in the wax paper wrappers.
Oh, gosh. Oh no.
It's
no.
just peanut butter
it's
chew.
It's just peanut butter chew.
Again, you'll lose a tooth.
Good.
No, I'm not into that.
Oh, it's good.
You
like
don't like
this.
Old people candy. That's
I mean, that's what it is.
I do like peppermints.
Cinnamon discs are where I'm at for
cinnamon
old people.
Yeah,
candy.
I like
not butterscotch, though.
No. No,
I
wait a minute.
I like butterscotch.
Come on,
I like butterscotch.
Butterscotch is tasty.
No, I'm not.
No?
No.
Wow. All right.
The thing that I think I would never.
You have some bad opinions on candy, Rob. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
That's fair.
You found a home.
I like it now later.
Now you're talking my language.
So you can't think of anything that you would have immediately thrown away or traded to your sister?
Anything that's not individually wrapped. That grosses me out.
Oh, like a popcorn ball type of thing?
Oh, yes. Like, see, homemade candies concern me. Somebody's
going
to have...
As they should.
There's going to be a hair and like a popcorn ball or something. I'm not doing that.
I have to digress because I am older than everyone else at this table.
Not by much.
But enough that my 70s were probably different than your 70s.
I'm going to go with this.
Homemade candies were the bomb diggity.
That's when people could cook.
That's true. Popcorn balls with the caramel and the popcorn, that was like liquid gold. And then if you got a caramel homemade apple, no matter what kind of apple, and somebody had made that and took the time to make that for you, you were like, this is the house of all houses.
While I'm probably just a little bit younger than Sean, when we brought those home, my parents would take them out of the bag and throw them in the trash.
Okay,
it's not because, you know, the people didn't do it with love. It was, you know, the crazy, like we were kind of joking with the razor blades and the cyanide, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'm sure none of that really happened, but we just had to chuck them. So we learned at that age that we did not want to get those gifts. And they were usually from, at that time, the people that were, you know, from a different generation as well. And that's what they gave out. Like my dad used to talk about penny night at Halloween. Night before, they would go around and people would give you pennies.
For UNICEF or just to give you pennies?
Just to give you pennies.
Okay.
Like and that's when a penny was something.
Yeah.
So that you go door to door and it was called penny night. And people would give you pennies so you could go buy stuff.
I have never heard of this.
I think we should bring that back because we could buy bourbon with that.
Where I come from, and I've never heard this anywhere else, and John is like, I don't know what you're talking about every time I say it. The night before Halloween was always known as cabbage night. And you would go out and you would like egg people's houses and...
This is old school Germany.
don't confuse
or
me.
Russian.
Don't confuse me with your Russian. But people would go out, and that's when you TP'd houses and egged people, and it was called Cabbage Night, and just had general destruction. And I don't know if it's called that anywhere else, but where I'm from.
I gotta say, I've never heard that.
That's a thing.
30th of October, Cabbage Night.
Yes, Cabbage Night.
No one's ever heard of this.
No.
We got candy.
We raised hell all on the 31st.
My little corner of the world.
That's all we did.
Cabbage Night. Yeah. All right. Okay. All right. Last topic here. And this is going to be kind of like a, because I think how we're going to do this show is we're going to have some, you know, pop culture topics. We're going to have some sports topics. Mm-hmm. We're going to have some not so political topics, but more, I don't know, what would you call them? Not political, but
current events.
There you go. And the current event topic that I picked for this particular episode this week is the fact that the CIA released the JFK documents. So are we going to drink some good bourbon to that, or is that just like bad opinion? Boo. Nobody cares.
Okay, can I start with this? Because the Christians in the action.
Go for it.
I think it's just a bad thing to release these, I don't know, where are we, 60, 70 years after the fact? What good can come of it?
Mm.
And then the fact that our current executive, you know, is deciding what to release.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not an opinion either way about the current executive, but it's just why? We all have our opinions about what happened to JFK, but do we gain anything from this?
I'm going to step in and say I love information. I love knowledge. So, yeah, I mean, I want to read it. I don't particularly care. It's for me, it's a historical event. And I appreciate that part of it.
Okay.
And you know, there's going to be other people. There are going to be conspiracy theorists. There's going to be all kinds of people out there that are going to be just like, whoa, what is all this? But for me, it's just pure history. And I think that we as a country deserve to know what our history is. And anytime anything is not put out there that should be for public consumption, as far as I'm concerned, it lessens us as a democracy. And that's my thought on that.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Actually, very good,
point. You convinced
me. It's a very good point. You've changed Sean's opinion.
Thank you, sir.
It doesn't matter to me one way or the other. I think I was always told that there were these secret files that would be released when no one's alive.
Right.
Who was alive when it happened.
Right.
And that led everyone for years to believe that, oh, the truth is there and the whole thing's been a lie and they're going to finally tell you who did it.
Right.
But, I mean, somebody knows, somebody's looked through these, and I don't think that's, my guess is it's not there. But, there's nothing there.
Yeah.
One article I read said that one of the concerns is that it's going to basically open up whoever this person in Mexico was that allowed them to figure out what, why he'd taken a visit, why he'd taken a trip there.
Who, Oswald?
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of obvious.
The other problem with it is they redacted a bunch of stuff. Like, it's not even the full documents. Exactly. They chose to still redact stuff.
That feeds the conspiracy. It allows for the continuation of what's happened forever. But I don't think it matters one way or the other.
I wouldn't disagree. I have no issue with any of, releasing. Yeah, of any of that.
Honestly, until they release the stuff about aliens, I'm not interested.
I thought you knew.
I mean, really. You know, the truth is out there, and yeah, just why do the JFK? Hey, I am wearing my X-Files shoes, by the way, right now. Yes, I am.
Very nice.
But I don't think, and Rob, I don't disagree with the information thing, I too am a consumer of lots of information and like that kind of historical aspect. I just don't think there's going to be anything new on the back of it. But I think a lot of it was to just say, hey, look, we're releasing this stuff. Well, and
yeah, for me, you know, as Sean alluded to, again, with the amount of time, you know, I find that to just be silly. I mean, unless you had something and you're still alive today, unless you had some real integral part in it, what does it really matter? You know, you were a bit player in a historical incident. I would prefer that we don't hold out for 35, 40 years to release this stuff. For me, put a 10-year, put a 20-year, embargo on it and then release it. That way you don't have all these people saying, what if or what happened? You just say, hey, these are the facts. This went out. And again, that's, you know, for me, that's just the way I would like to see things. I know it's not, you know, reality, but I think that we as a society would be just more open and say, maybe if you're holding something back, are you waiting 65, 70 years to tell somebody? Then you do. You build up this 65, 70 years of, oh my God, what happened? And really, that was it.
Yeah.
The guy got shot.
Move on. Well,
so now I agree 100% with what you're saying, but I will have a question about that. Would you feel the same about the files that pertain to the attacks of September 11th? Like, would you believe that? Like a 10, 20-year time frame, would you believe that that's, let's say there's similar information about things that went on or suspected concerns, some of the pages were redacted in the reports and that kind of thing. Would that change our perspective if it's something that you lived through versus something that happened before you?
It wouldn't change mine because I know a little bit about why redaction is done. It's to protect people who are in place.
Right.
You know, it's not something that most people think that's used willy-nilly. It's usually protect somebody's identity so they don't get got when
they're not necessarily trying to hide something.
Yeah, they're trying to protect somebody's identity. Sure. So that wouldn't bother me for like 9/11. But I'm sure it would bother some people, but it wouldn't bother me.
Well, I think actually that this whole, I mean, if you release all the information, you're ruining the conspiracy theory business. I mean, conspiracy theory is a business and it makes money. I mean, look at all the books. Look at all the books that have been written on the assassination and all the stuff that's been done on the assassination of JFK.
Have built careers doing that.
And made lots of money in the process. Absolutely.
I don't think you'll ever get rid of that, though. I mean, late night radio is, it will always be there. You'll always
find
some.
Coast to Coast AM, baby.
We'll always
George Norrie now. It's George Norrie.
Oh,
Art Bell's been retired for a while. I love Coast to Coast AM.
It
love
does help it. You go to sleep, doesn't it?
Love it.
The dulcet tones.
To answer John's question, no. You know, again, I am somebody that just believes in the freedom of information. You know, which, good or bad, you know, this is why WikiLeaks has been so interesting to me and things of that nature. Right. You know, no matter your political persuasion, your spectrum on it, you know, the information coming out, good or bad on your side, it lets you know what's going on, and then you can make a better informed decision. And I feel the more information people have, the better decision.
I agree with you.
I
am a First Amendment absolutist. So, it needs to be out there.
And you can form your own bad opinion on it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. There you go.
That's true.
So what was everybody's opinion on the McKenna-Henry? Sean, what did you think?
I liked it. It was quite a pleasant surprise, I thought. It was very good. I got a little cinnamon out of it. I know others got a different taste, smell, but I think I may have to stop on the way home to pick me up another bottle.
Well, there you go. John, what did you think?
I thought it was very good. For 100 proof, I thought it was not harsh like I expected. It wasn't hot for something that's a $30 100 proof product. I thought it had a good flavor. I thought the body was good. It was nice. There was a nice, I wouldn't say burn, but there was a nice heat to it. But yes. It was not something that was, for me, I was able to take it neat. It wasn't something I felt like I had to try a different approach. All in all, I thought it was very good. It's definitely something I would try. I don't know that I ever would have known that name particularly, and that's,
yeah, I wouldn't have like, that's something I certainly wouldn't have known it was Heaven Hill.
Right.
Yeah.
It's one of those, sometimes that section of the market gets cluttered with a lot of also-rans. But in my opinion, this is a good product that I would definitely try again and steer others toward.
I would have to agree. We kind of discussed a little bit. Some of us thought there was a little bit of vanilla to it.
Yeah.
At a 100 proof, I also didn't feel the heat or that burn. Mm-hmm. Of course, I'm an ice drinker, so, you know, and naturally I might not have some of that, but I was really, really, really pleased with the product. So I'm gonna pick up a bottle as well, put it with my collection.
I thought it was really good. Yeah, I didn't get the harshness off of it, and again, with a little bit of the ice, I liked it. I had a few drinks even without the ice once my ice was gone, but yeah, it wasn't hot, and I could do it neat or with the ice. I could do it either one. So yeah, let's pick up a bottle of that. We'll do that. We'll definitely do that. Well, hey, this was a lot of fun. Yeah, I had fun.
This was great.
Yeah, it's good. Good. Like, I'm trying to cue up the music here real quick. Music. But yeah, thank you.
Is it the X-Files?
It is not the X-Files.
See, that should be your intro.
We'd have to pay money on that.
No, I would have to pay money. This is, I actually recorded this myself. I played and recorded this. You can't hear it because I'm the only one with headphones in right now. But yeah, Rob, I'll play it you after we're done. So yeah, I'm going to cue up this music now. So there you go. Thank you for joining us for the very, very, very first episode of Bourbon and Bad Opinions. You know, you can give us a shout out on Twitter at BABO Podcast. And we're on Podbean, so that's where you can find us. And hopefully we'll get a iTunes hookup coming pretty soon. But definitely Podbean and Twitter at us, BABO Podcast. If you have a bourbon you'd like us to drink or try, or if you have something that you think you have a bad opinion on and you'd like us to discuss. And so, yeah, I think we're going to record another one of these.
Oh, yes. I'm
for sure.
There.
We're on it. So we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.